Welcome to Rettle's Pub, where we talk about the spirits while partaking of spirits. Last time on Rettle's Pub.
Protestantism? You left Catholicism for Protestantism?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's all from the same fruit of truth. The
same root.
It's the same root. It's the corrupt root. Mm-hmm. And because Jesus didn't come.
He didn't come to establish a church.
No, he came to break those chains. Correct. To free man. And you can't free man and then suddenly put him back in bondage. That's not the point.
What we're seeing in Christianity right now is we're seeing Phariseeism at its finest.
Here are your hosts, Nate and Mason.
If you compare what Jesus combated in the New Testament, he combated the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders, right? What they're teaching and what they're complaining about and what their argument against Jesus is the same thing that we're hearing within the religious Christianity, right? But it's not against Jesus. So the Pharisees have learned that Jesus is important. So then what they're doing is they are using those same arguments and those same philosophies and applying them to the individual, not Jesus, but they're applying it to the individual. So when an individual shows up in a community and actually starts teaching the things of Jesus and being Jesus, then it's you're being divisive.
Well, you're being rebellious.
You're being rebellious.
Well, here's this, you know. And
you need to line up.
And there's an exodus out of evangelicalism. What is wrong with me?
Evangelicalism.
I've drank a little bit. I've drank some more of that bourbon, too. So now I've got bourbon on top of this.
He's flying high.
I should not have done that. So what you've got, and this is, I mean, you've mentioned it several times. I know it's a true statement because it was happening decades ago. People are leaving
Pentecostalism.
No, evangelical.
Pentecostalism.
Christianity. They're leaving Protestant religions and going to more your Orthodox and Catholicism. And I don't know that that's necessarily a better thing. Because what they're leaving is to me, it's almost as though I would say, in my opinion, that Pentecostalism is closer to where I am than Catholicism. And the reason why I say that is because look at what Pentecostals do. There is no real structure. Yes, there's structure, but not like correct. Catholicism. You look at the practice. You know, Catholicism is very, very much static. It very, very much is, especially like I like the idea of the Mass.
It's beautiful.
The Eucharist and mm-hmm. all of those things, they're very, very beautiful. But I think they've been mutated out of paganism mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and tried to apply into Christianity or religion of that follows Jesus. So I would almost say that Pentecostals are closer to a spiritual awakening than the Catholics.
Well, remember we talked about this in that in the voodoo lessons. Mm-hmm. The voodoo hoodoo? Hoodoo? Mm-hmm. You do. Vincent Sinan. You remember Vincent Sinan?
Yes, because we
from
I was a little inebriated.
Yeah,
and we said we was apologizing because we called him a sinner.
Sinan. He's Sinan.
He's Sinan.
He said, and I sent this to a buddy of mine this
week. I
drank
too much.
He quoted, "For millions in pagan environments, a new believer does not need to change paradigms to become a Pentecostal Christian."
I believe that's true.
It's absolutely true.
And so in some ways, I think that Pentecostalism is closer to a freedom of religion mm-hmm. than is Catholicism. That said, I don't think that any of it is doing anything but causing more harm than good.
Mm-hmm.
I had a conversation with someone this week at work. It's someone that, if I mention their name, you know who I was talking about. And I told her, I said, the problem with Christianity is the idea that from the get-go, you are corrupt.
Yes.
From the get-go, you are fallen. from the get-go, you're a sinner. Mm-hmm. From the get-go, you're a horrible, horrible person. You're born that way.
Yes.
You're born negatively. And so think about what that does to a kid who goes to Sunday school at 2 and 3 years old and is told you're a result of a fallen man, mm-hmm. without any context to that.
Right.
Except because you can't really give children a whole lot of context. I think we can give them more than what we actually do give them. But if you don't give them some sort of context, they make up the stuff on their mind already.
Correct.
And so I wouldn't go as far as to say it's spiritual abuse or abuse as a whole to believe that. But there's some abuse there.
There
I mean,
is.
That is because this person was having some issues where they're not being treated by other people like they should be treated.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that the reason why they're being treated that way is because they themselves don't believe they're worthy of being treated better.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And so where does that come from? She was raised not Pentecostal, but pretty fucking close to it. And so I think that she struggles along with some other shit that's went on in her life. But I think anyone who is raised in a religion that says, out the womb, you're a sinner. Out the womb.
Let's take it personal. Let's take it
to me. So I was thinking about this week. This is part of my journaling, my shadow work. So I was a result of an uh-oh moment. Right?
It's not only a result, it's a cause of many, many uh-oh moments.
It was an uh-oh moment.
I know in my life, he's been nothing but an uh-oh.
So I was an accident, right? I was an accident. And then I was told all of my life that I was an accident and I was not planned. I was an accident. I go to church and I learn that I'm a sinner in the hands of an angry God, right?
Oh, yeah. I remember that. I've forgotten all about that.
So I'm an accident. I didn't want to be born, right? I didn't have consent in that. And not only did I not have consent, but those that produced me didn't even plan on, right? It was just a result of a good, fun night. So you have that. So then you go to church and you're a sinner in the hands of an angry God. Then you become a pastor's kid. And now you're in a bowl to where everyone in your spiritual community, you're a preacher's kid. So you're innately evil. Then they find out that I'm diagnosed ADD dyslexic severely, and I'm approached by a lady in the community who points at me in her finger and says, "You're devil possessed."
Who did that?
It was an ETOL. She was one of the custodians at Woden School.
Oh.
So.
Brit.
Yeah. So she points at me.
I can't believe I remember that.
"You've got a demon in you, and you're of the devil. And
you first.
The Ritalin that you take is not helping you, but it's subduing the demon in you." So I've got that. And so, yeah, there's a lot of trauma in there.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that's the problem I have with Christianity generally,
mm-hmm.
Is the fact that you have to repent and understand that you're a fallen human.
Mm-hmm.
In order to be saved. And I don't think I can go down that path anymore. Not if I believe that my soul determines my path before me.
Mm-hmm.
In conjunction with, in collaboration with other people that I will come across in my life. You know,
unless your Christianity, and this is something I've been thinking, as I know I interrupted, unless your Christianity, your religious. But even then, if your religious practice is Calvinism, of the predestination of the Christian, of the believer,
you still have this understanding that you're still a failed human.
Correct. There's still that. Yes.
And plus, I think if I don't quote me on this,
I'm
going to
quote you. I'm writing it down.
I want to say that isn't it Calvinism that also believes only a certain amount of people are going to heaven?
They're okay.
I mean, I know the Mormons do that.
So the
Mormons. What
there's the 144,000
for the
but
Latter-day Saints.
The scripture is very clear in Book of Revelation, that's 144,000 Jews specifically chosen. And then when you get to heaven, John the Revelator sees the courtyard of heaven, and it's innumerable. So it's so vast that you can't even count them.
Yeah, but I mean, is it Calvinism? Don't they believe in a certain number of people? Mm-mm. They don't. Maybe I'm getting
that's a misconception. There are some that do, but that's a misconception on a lot of Calvinists.
Anyway. My point with that is that, I don't know that anyone can really be, I just don't know how you can be Christian, true Christian, mm-hmm. or not true, I mean, theologically sound Christianity and be that way.
Take it from me, you can't.
Huh?
You can't.
I just don't.
You can't. Because there are things within Christianity, there are theologies and teachings and doctrines and dogmas that do not line up with a spiritual awakening philosophy.
Well, I just know that it doesn't fit.
It doesn't.
I mean, and I spent 2 years, 2.5 years in Bible college in pretty in-depth theological mm-hmm. understandings. Now, granted,
that's why I stepped down from ministry. That's why I completely stepped down from ministry, because there were things that I believed and that I did that did not fall in line with basic Christian doctrine, right? So that's why I stepped down.
Well, I mean, let's kind of step back to this Shadow Journal shit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the understanding, the belief in Christianity that says we must crucify the flesh so that the soul may be saved.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's completely missing the point. I do believe that we need to die daily. That's our ego.
Yes.
So that our soul can practice its own divinity.
Correct.
And it's not even so that the soul can practice its divinity. It's divine steps.
Mm-hmm.
The ordered steps that are before it. I think those happen. I think the ego is what makes us become bitter or not about what our body is doing
right.
that we have no control over. And then we're angry. Case in point, I really struggle with being irritated at myself for not exercising as much as I do, as I need to, for not eating as well as I need to. And I've done pretty good, but here lately it's been kind of a struggle. You know, and so I'll go eat something that's not even bad for me. And I'm like, well, fuck, that's not what I want to do.
Yeah.
Then I start condemning myself. And I get that. You need to be able to say, hey, you fucked up. Let's get back on the path. I don't have a problem with that understanding. The question is whether that's actually doing me any good because I'm attached.
Yeah.
That's where it becomes an attachment. I become attached to, I'm going to eat this way, and that's my attachment.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't eat that way, does it really matter? Probably not. It's not like my soul says, okay, well, you're going to eat this on this day and this on that lunch.
Yeah.
You know, you're going on Tuesday, you're going to eat a burger from Freddy's with a shake on the side and some cherries on top, even though you don't like cherries.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's kind of that shit.
Right.
I don't think that's the case. But the understanding is the same. If I allow myself, I get very self-condemning when I don't live the plan that my ego has set forth for me to live.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so if I take that to a big scale and all of a sudden I've made a decision that I left Christianity and my soul and my body, my ego is saying, you're going to hell, going to hell, going to hell, going to hell, going
right.
to hell, get back to church, go back to church, go repent, go back to, but my body or my soul is aren't that. Yeah, we're not doing that.
Yes.
We're going to do this. Now, if my ego does not die daily,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm going to struggle and I'm going to be in constant struggle,
right?
Constant pain or constant irritation or constant this, that, and the other because I'm attached to something.
Correct.
And so that ego is what attaches. And that's the reason why maybe I'm completely wrong and Paul didn't mean any of that shit like I'm thinking of it,
sure.
but it fits my brain. I have to die daily. My ego has to understand that
its purpose is there is a purpose for the ego, but that purpose is not to struggle.
Right.
That purpose is to experience this world as we need to experience it.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, Boo Boo.
What is it, Yogi?
Make sure to check out Reynolds.pub. I love them like I love a good picnic basket.
Yogi, that's a great idea, but what would Park Ranger say?
Don't listen to him. He's a commie.
We need to experience the world in mindfulness and be mindful of everything and not be an ego, which ego creates anxiety.
And depression.
Because it wants to touch itself and it wants to empower itself. And it will do everything it can do to touch itself or empower itself.
I think the more you kill it, die mm-hmm. daily, mm-hmm. the more it understands its purpose in life. Mm-hmm. And as long as you kill it daily, I think your life will be what your life is. And you step back and realize all the bad shit, it's got to have a reason.
Right.
Otherwise, what's the purpose?
Exactly.
All the good shit's got to be a reason. Because you can't live life in pleasure all the time.
Yeah.
What's the point of life if it's just right. pleasurable all the time?
Correct. Because then you get
no
bored.
Struggle. You have no...
Yep.
You know, you can only do so much happy shit before you're not... For me, I can only do so much happy shit before I'm like, man, I'm tired of this. This is killing me. I got to go get depressed for something.
That's why with my spiritual practice, I use rosaries or prayer beads. Not because I believe that that's going to get me to heaven better, right? I'm going to make it to heaven by doing a 100 Jesus prayers or whatever. No, I do that and I apply that practice in order to control my ego. That's why I do that. So if I can't sit in my space and meditate and practice mindfulness and go on my spiritual journeys through meditation, if I'm driving down the road and I feel myself getting kind of egoish, where I want to touch myself or empower myself, right? Then I pull out the ropes and I bring my mind and I bring my focus and my consciousness. I bring it into focus. And I said, we're not doing that. So it's a way to suppress my ego and to suppress my unneeded desires. That does nothing that doesn't empower me, that doesn't enhance my higher self. And that's why I focus on my problems.
I've gotten to where something happens and I'm not perfect at it, obviously, but I tend to, it's easier for me to, for lack of a better way to explain it, step outside myself and watch.
Yeah.
And watch what happens. I mean, if my ego is not in check, maybe there's something I need to learn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I've literally gotten to where I can almost step back. And I don't know how to explain it. It's almost like I can see myself go through these
mm-hmm.
motions of whatever it is. And it's a weird deal, but it helps me realize, that's probably not the best thing to do.
Yeah.
And let's try not to do that in the future.
You know? Right.
Or it lets me know where I'm attached and where I'm not attached. And it's so you're getting a lot of religious, spiritual overtones from various places. You know, you look at Paul, I die daily, the ordered steps in the Old Testament, mm-hmm. the Jesus saying your brother's now with me, or the kingdom of God is inside you now,
yeah.
before baptism and or before death, burial, and resurrection.
Right.
It's in you now. Then you go to Buddhism, which, you know, talks about attachment. Then you go to this one, it says this about that, and that one, that, you know, Krishna says this, you know, right. honor your incarnation. Yeah. Suddenly, you pull from all these different places, and if you're only Christian, you're only pulling from the concept of Christianity, which is one person's version of how to ascend to a higher level, and you find yourself in a box, and you're about to say with blinders on, not able to actually see the world as is.
This is what you're seeing, is you're seeing Jesus's teaching, okay? You're seeing Jesus's teaching on how to exist within the kingdom of heaven. That's what you're reading. But what you're maneuvering is an egotistical fivefold ministry only, fear-based, high control gatekeeper individual who is interpreting that scripture according to their own ego and business marketing.
Literally say, I am the mouthpiece of
yes.
God. And literally say,
yes, I am God's man in this church.
I am between you and God.
Yes. Yes.
Even though Jesus is, you know, the perfect example.
You exactly. And I've heard that with my own ears all my life.
Yeah, me too.
I've heard it. So we have a book that is meant to be read and contemplated and meditated on. But unfortunately, what we're dealing with is a high-control, fear-based structure, marketing plan. And I'm calling it that. It's a marketing plan where the CEO of that business is gatekeeping and interpreting that according to his marketing scheme.
Yep.
And then everybody goes to that business and has a TED Talk on that marketing scheme.
That's the way it is. Okay, so we got like 5 minutes before it's time for you to leave.
Okay.
All right. So let me ask you a couple of questions.
Okay.
Let me ask you one question and answer it as fast as you can.
One question.
What books you read?
Currently, right now, I am rereading. Hold on. I'm trying as fast as I can. I am currently reading The Zen Experience by Thomas Hoover, number one. And then number two book I'm reading is still Buckland's Complete Book of Witchcraft.
I spell Buckland.
B. Yeah, we know it's a B. B-U-C-K-L-A-N-D.
And what is it? Complete book?
The Buckland's Complete Book of Witchcraft.
Okay. So I'm listening to Ram Dass's... I have Audible, and I bought it for free. Paths to God.
Awesome.
So I'm reading that in my list of things to read in the future. I've got, I sent them to you this week. Julius Evola. He has Introduction to Magic, Rituals and Practical Techniques for the Magus. I don't know how to say that word. And also by Julius Evola, I'm looking at reading in the future The Doctrine of Awakening, The Attainment of Self-Mastery According to the Earliest Buddhist Texts. Those are the two that I've got in my
now the list book to, that I'm waiting to come out. She's still working on it. Her name is Sarah Razertson. I don't know how to pronounce her last name. Poor thing. She's on TikTok. Last name is spelled Razertsen. And it's her newest book, Discovering Christian Witchcraft, A Beginner's Guide to Everyday Practice. So she's established and is teaching, actively teaching, kind of a what I like to call a hybrid connection between Christianity and witchcraft. So she's a Christian.
That's cool.
Christian witch.
All right. I think that's it for the day.
Man, love you guys.
Yep. Y'all have a fun time and... hope you enjoyed this.
No idea. Be safe.
Bye.
I think
that
went well.
Yeah. My brain hurts.
We were like grasping.